Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com.
In this episode, we talk to physical therapist Alicia White from Evolve Prosthetics Rehab. We talk about prosthetic rehab taught in schools and as CEUs, the teamwork between a prosthetist and a therapist, and giving back to the service members that sacrificed for us.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on, let's drink beer.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pintcast, where we talk PT,
drink beer,
and record it.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Our next guest graduated from Baldwin-Wallace University in 2004 with a degree in athletic training. She continued her studies at University of Miami, the U, where she earned a doctorate in physical therapy in 07. She worked at the Center for the Intrepid in San Antonio, Texas for 10 years, where she treated high-level patients with amputations in the military and civilian sectors. Additionally, she taught the running course for all patients with amputations that had a desire to run while being treated at the Center for the Intrepid. She served as an expert witness in several cases concerning the functional expectations for patients with amputations. That sounds cool. We're going to get into that. In addition, she's taught prosthetic rehab at the U.S. Army Baylor PT program and adaptive sports at Texas State University, as well as hosting online course for clinicians with MedBridge education. She continues her passion for teaching running at the South Texas Paralympic track team within her own practice, Evolve Prosthetic Rehabilitation. She also treats pediatric patients with amputations at Children's Hospital of San Antonio. Up next on PT Pintcast, Alicia White. Alicia, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you today?
I'm awesome. That's a hell of an intro. You got a lot of cool stuff going on.
It was long. It's been a long 10 years. I've been very lucky to have the career I've had so far.
That's in 10 years. Oh, yeah. I guess I really didn't
11,
do the math.
Yeah.
That's in
we're 10 coming 11 up years. In 11 years. Yeah.
Wow. Good for you. Yeah. You know, we're 220-something episodes in, and I don't think we've really done anything with prosthetics as deep as you've done it in the decade that you've been in the field. So that's why when we had kind of connected, I was like, ooh, this is something we haven't touched on. This is something where, you know, in PT school, we touch on it, but literally it's a touch, and then we move on because there's so much stuff we got to cover. And that's why, I mean, it's just, it kind of drew me in to know more about it, because, you know, you're 10 years deep. So let's start from the start. How'd you get in? How'd you start with that?
Yeah, that is exactly why I wanted to chat with you. Yeah, I always had a passion for athletics. My undergrad degree is in athletic training. And then when I got to University of Miami, I was very lucky enough to be taught by the Bob Gailey about prosthetics there. And we had a whole course in prosthetics at the University of Miami, which I know is not par for the course at most physical therapy schools. Usually it's a week-long course, a couple of interesting afternoon clinics with some prosthetic limbs, but nothing really in depth. So taking his class really got me excited about the potential out there in the world of prosthetics. And then I was lucky enough to stumble into the Center for the Intrepid position.
Yeah.
So for 10 years, I taught, I had 10 to 20 amputees a day that I taught.
Wow.
So I would like to think even if I was the worst therapist in the world, I would have learned a thing or two with that many amputees that I had. So,
did you go to the Center for the Intrepid specifically for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I thought that was the perfect place where I could tie together my athletic background and the prosthetics passion that I had. So I could take these guys and get them, you know, they didn't want to walk again. They wanted to run, jump, play, and win gold medals again.
Now,
so that part was really fun.
Now, I know a little bit about the Center for the Intrepid. If someone didn't, what's the 30-second kind of pitch of why it's so cool, especially be a PT there?
Yeah. Right after the conflict started, they decided that they needed a center of excellence for limb trauma and prosthetics. Through a ton of donations, the center was built in under a year. It's absolutely beautiful, four-story high, multidisciplinary facility dedicated to patients with limb loss and extremity trauma.
Yeah. And we had mentioned before we hit the record button that you worked with a guy by the name of Johnny Owens. Johnny's been on the show multiple times. Owens Recovery Science is now officially a sponsor of the show. And you guys had worked together there for a little while, right?
Yes, I adore Johnny. He is a fabulous guy who has a passion that far exceeds anything I've ever seen for his patients, to get the best for them. And so I was fortunate enough to watch Johnny learn how to do blood flow restriction. And we were part of the first guinea pigs to attach things to our limbs to try it. But he was so passionate about finding success for his patients that he was literally willing to try anything. And he did. And I'm so glad he's doing so well for himself.
And now he flies around the country, flies around the world teaching, you know, pro, going from, you know, amputation athletes to professional athletes in a bunch of different sports. And he's the guy teaching it now. And you warned me. You warned me. You said, watch out, man. He's got a real subtle, sharp sense of humor. I was like, oh, I know. Johnny and I have hung out. I've seen that before.
He does. Once in a while, I get him back into San Antonio for drinks, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's cool. So you worked at the Center for Intrepid. You know, what's some things that you picked up there? Because that's got to be a unique experience, because the type of patient that you're working with and the unique situation that you as the therapist and, of course, them as the patient are now in.
Yeah, it's definitely different. You're not going to find a setting like that anywhere else in the world. And one of the things that I've learned is that it doesn't matter how beautiful the building is, and it doesn't matter how high tech the equipment is. What really matters is how patients can motivate each other. And that was the beauty of it. So somebody would come in, you know, missing two legs and then think their life is over, and see somebody missing two legs and an arm climbing a rock wall.
Wow.
So that's what I loved about it, was watching the patients motivate one another and everything that they taught me, because basically we've learned in school is pop a leg under them and they'll be just fine. But there's so much more to that, and prepping them for the limb, getting them to use the limb correctly, and then getting them to get back into their lives. And so I have learned that the only good that comes out of war is advances in medicine. So after 10 years, thankfully, we don't have that many more amputees coming back that are combat wounded, which is awesome. There's always a job to have. I don't need to have that one. So I've decided it's time to take everything I've learned and share it with the civilian world, because it's just not out there. So it's been really exciting for me this last year to kind of mold and create and teach. And it's really been eye-opening to me to see what the civilian prosthetics world is like. I've got some patients who never had physical therapy.
Wow.
They didn't know they could have physical therapy. I watched a patient one time get in parallel bars, walk down and back two times. And I said, that's great. How long have you been walking in the limb? And he said, today was my first day. And he was going home with his limb that day with no training. And so it's just disheartening, because those patients are the patients that are going to have chronic pain because they're not using it correctly.
Sure.
And that means they're not going to use it for very long. And it's going to just send them in a cycle. So it's not hard. It's so much fun to teach these patients. But if they don't know that they can get this training, then we're doing them a huge disservice.
You know, I'm starting, you know, my background, as we talked a little earlier, was in radio. I'm starting to hear, you know, this. Of course, when you do 220 something episodes and it's all focused on physical therapy, I start to see trends. And that's the thing that I've noticed the most is, man, you know, sometimes I'll touch a patient and I had no idea about this, that I even got this, or I didn't, do I come back? You know, I wasn't referred. I don't know. Like, pretty soon, like, you kind of, you know, pick this patient population to work with. I think I'm going to plant my flag pretty soon and just being a communicator, which is what I used to do within the physical therapy world, because it's sad to hear something like that. Someone who has an opportunity to get back to their mobility, and you're not even stopping there. You're saying, if you want to run, great, we're going to run. But some people don't know that, and that should make that makes both of us mad.
Right, yeah. And we can say all day that insurance doesn't work and insurance is a pain, but if the patient doesn't know their insurance gives them 20 visits, then we're even at a greater disservice. So I will never forget the second civilian patient I had. Was a really awesome 40-year-old guy, owned his own business in the oil fields here in Texas, was super active before his amputation, was a transfemoral amputee. And I said, you know, what are kind of things do you like to do for fun? And he said, well, I used to love to hike. And I said, used to? Why do you say used to? And he said, well, you know, now I have an amputation. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I've got an hour. Let's go for a hike. So those are the things that they just don't know they can do these things again because they aren't exposed to it.
Where do you get them? Where? Because we'll get into the fact that you have your own practice now.
Yeah.
As an outpatient practice who's working specifically with patients with amputations, where do you get them, you know, in terms of the timeline of that? Because walk me through that.
Well, what I like to do is find local prosthetists and address the local prosthetists. And then I have an online site too where people can find me, where patients can find me. But usually it's with the prosthetists. And the prosthetists are very good about getting in the hospitals and finding these patients pre and post. So I'm lucky enough to get them. I try and grab them right after inpatient rehab. They, depending on insurance, get a week or two of inpatient stay. And then they have these awesome outpatient patient visits that they get that they usually don't capitalize on, or they have to see their prosthetist 1 week, and then 2 weeks later they go over to see the physical therapist, and the physical therapist says you need more dorsiflexion, and 2 weeks later you're back at your prosthetist. It's taking too long to do these tiny little things that we can adjust to make therapy better with a limb. So I was so lucky for 10 years to have a prosthetist in my back pocket. We saw every patient together on their first time standing up, but that's just not the model that we have in the civilian world. So I like to get the patients with their prosthetist on the first day, getting up and learning how to use the limb correctly. And then when they use it correctly, they can tell the prosthetist, hey, this hurts and this hurts and this hurts, now that I know I'm using it right.
Right.
So it kind of streamlines the process, and it takes advantage of the limited amount of outpatient visits we're allowed to get.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's a smart patient care way to go about it, and smart business way to go about it. But really, your business is getting those people into you so they can take advantage of the things that they should be taking advantage of, which is your insight.
Yes, and there's not much out there. So I tried to do just a lot of local classes, online classes, anything I can put out there, weekly blog posts, just to teach people, therapists and amputees and prosthetists, about some of the ins and outs and little tips and tricks I have learned. I think it's a hanger right now has a little contest going on called Amputee Hacks, and I love it. And it's exactly what are the tips and tricks you've learned, and how can you share it with other people?
So I like that.
That's kind of exactly what I'm trying to do. The tips and tricks I've learned over 10 years. Here, just let me give them to
you. Teach them. I'd be a bad podcast host if I didn't segue right into where you can find out more about Alicia and her practice and all those stuff. EvolveProstheticRehab.com, EvolveProstheticRehab.com, or on Twitter, EvolvePRS. And I clicked around your website. It's pretty cool. I like how it's directed at not only patients, but clinicians. I mean, it's directed at a bunch of different people, and they can get what they need. The website solves their problems separately, because you're not talking to the same person if you're a clinician versus a patient.
Right. And I think it's important that we all know the same terminology, though. I think everybody has like an Aunt Betty that had a heart stent put in, or they can understand a knee replacement a little bit. But when you get to the world of prosthetics, it's scary and intimidating. It's liners and sockets and test sockets and Allen wrenches, and it's kind of a whole new world of its own. And so I feel like if the patients are empowered and the therapists are empowered to know these terms, they can go to the prosthetist and they can talk better, and they can get a better product and a better outcome for the patients.
I'm just thinking, just now, that's got to be a lot of psychological issues, because someone has just lost a limb. That's traumatic, just even thinking about that. How do you broach the topic? Because this came up in my neuro class, my neuro rehab class with my professor, Julie Reese. How do you broach the subject of what to call the residual limb? Because the residual limb is the technical term for it, but you know, we want to talk on patient terms. But so how do you do that? You're the expert. What do you say? How do you broach
that? That's so funny that you say that. Well, the two things about that. One is that the Amputee Coalition of America has amazing peer mentorship program. Wounded Warrior Project also does the same thing, where they train people to say the right things. So they train amputees to say the right things to new amputees. And I think that's huge.
That's just great.
Don't want to grab anybody. You want somebody who actually knows what they need to say. So that's really been fun for me, is connecting some people who I know are similar and giving them this new bond of mentorship where they can go to each other to help. Because I say all the time, nobody listens to the chick with two legs in the one-legged world. So I try and connect them to one another.
That's right? A brilliant idea.
It is. But the other thing is so funny. I despise the word stump. But
right.
99% of the amputees do it. They use it.
Really?
They have named it Stumpy. They've named it. You know what? I just let them take the lead. My favorite is the moose. It's not going to. You'll have to.
I'm getting it now.
There's a residual limb.
We got it. Yeah.
And there's a moose. It's not going to translate. But everybody needs to learn the moose, because it's not just the patient, too. A lot of times the people I work with have kids or grandkids, and residual limbs are really scary to kids and grandkids. And so if we can make it fun, and we can put googly eyes on it, and we can nickname it, and then it's theirs, and it has more fun.
Yeah.
But for sure, I let the patients take the lead. Some of the things they have said to me in the past 10 years are completely inappropriate, but it works for them, and it's their healing process.
Yeah.
I would never call their limbs what they call.
Right. Well, that's a good point you bring up. It is part of their healing process. You know, it's with them, or I should say not with them, every minute of every day, and it's a constant reminder of, you know, that major traumatic event that they dealt with, I imagine. And,
right.
You know, if they're going to embrace it with humor, I've seen some killer tattoos online.
Yes.
That, you know, shark bites and just stuff that you're like, oh my gosh. Yes. But then again, you're like, that person's just, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to embrace it. This is mine.
Yes. Yeah. I've often joked with one of the surgeons that I used to work with, Dr. Gajewski, is practicing now still in the civilian world. He's amazing. We also often said we needed to have like a tabletop book on tattoos of war. And they were just, there's some good ones out there.
That's awesome. Want to get into, you know, straight up business stuff and how you created that business to meet the needs of the patient when we get after the break. I also want to talk to you about the scariest situation. You said that, you know, kids and grandkids often come into contact with us. I want to tell you my personal story, how one freaked me out when I was a kid.
Awesome.
Completely at my expense. We'll be right back with Alicia White on PT Pinecast. Don't move.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
The PT Pinecast is powered by Smart Tools, the next generation of instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization. The fastest-growing approach to IASTM is Smart Tools, from high-quality American-made tools. Smart Tools. Find them online at smarttoolsplus.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. Back on PT Pinecast with Alicia White. back on PT Pinecast with Alicia White of Evolve Prosthetic Rehab. Again, that website, evolveprostheticrehab.com. Evolve PRS on Twitter, since that's where we are in the world. Everything's about Twitter or the website. Three questions, Alicia. It's from our sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing. First question. You've gone around. You are the U, Baldwin Wallace. You've done San Antonio. Our sponsor, Aureus Medical Staffing, finds jobs for PTs all over the country in any setting. Where's somewhere in the U.S. that you haven't worked yet as a PT that you wouldn't mind going for 13 weeks?
San Diego.
Yeah.
Yes, loved it there. You're right by the mountains and the ocean. I don't think it gets better than that.
Plus,
but
isn't
I hope
like
that cost of living helps.
Yeah.
Out.
Well, I've heard about that, but isn't like the average temperature like 82? It's like perfect, like 82 degrees.
Absolutely beautiful, and they have In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, you can't go wrong. Second question: what's something that you've read that really inspired you?
You know, and it's an oldie and a goodie, and I've heard it on your show before, but the How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yeah. I feel like we can read all the physical therapy books in the world that we want, but if our patients don't believe in us and don't connect with us, we could be the best clinician and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
I really feel that we are in the business of selling ourselves. And if we can't sell ourselves on day one, well, then we might as well discharge them. So it's so important to connect on a personal level from the beginning with our patients.
Yeah, that book hasn't sold millions of copies by accident.
Right?
Right. You know. Third question on three questions. Who is someone else within the field of physical therapy or rehab, maybe prosthetic rehab, that the audience should know more about, someone they can look up besides you?
Yeah, well, actually, Activate ASAP, Wayne and Hillary Struby are awesome. They used to work with us also at the Center for the Intrepid, and they developed a running program there that is out of this world, and they've decided the same thing. You know what? This isn't just for the military. This is for everybody, and they've taken it out to local high schools and track and field programs and trying to teach people how to run correctly to prevent injuries, and
That's cool.
Really like what they're doing. They're both very, very smart. Activate ASAP.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier before the break, you know, how fortunately but unfortunately, a lot of developments in rehab and medicine comes out of the military because of necessity, because of this unfortunate thing called war. But if we're going to, you know, what we do as PTs, I think, is try to make the best out of any situation that we're in. And if you're going to, you know, something like Johnny Owen, something like what you're doing, something like that running program you just mentioned, it's like, okay, it was a necessity there, but hey, let's take it and let's spread it. Let's make something good out of it. So it's always good to hear those stories.
Yeah. I feel like it's the only way that I can give back to my patients. And every single time I see a new civilian patient, it makes me thankful for what they gave to me. And it shows me how I can give back to them.
Yeah. Okay. So before the break, we mentioned that sometimes they're scary very, you know, traumatic situations dealing with the residual limb or whatever the patient wants to call it. I had I still remember what this room looked like and how it felt and how the situation went down. My aunt was about 10 or 15 years older than me, and she was dating someone, and we're all sitting around like the kitchen table. I don't know, the room just felt weird. Like, I knew something was about to happen. You know, one of those kind of like hair in the back of your neck. My aunt mentioned to her boyfriend, say, hey, can you help him pull his shoe off? And you already know where this is going. So I don't know. I'm probably like 6 or 7. So really got to pull. And of course, his prosthetic limb came off. And at 7 years old, you're just completely confused. And everyone's laughing at you. And you're starting to sweat. And you turn red. Then all of a sudden you realize, okay, that's so mean. But I mean, hey, he was having fun with it. We all laughed afterward. But I wanted to crawl into a hole and die at the particular moment when I thought I pulled the guy's leg off. But that's just an example.
Good amputee humor right there. Yes.
This is a good example of, like you said, amputee humor, of just embracing this is my thing. So you mentioned a little bit about prosthetics and how getting into a relationship with a prosthetist, which is something I guess I wouldn't have thought of in terms of, hey, how do you find those people who need your services?
Yeah.
What are some other ways that you went about creating that business to meet the needs of your patients with Evolve Prosthetic Rehab?
Thankfully, there are some good support groups in place. You can find a lot of them on the Amputee Coalition of America. That's a beautiful website. They have a lot of great information, and they will post local support groups there, or you can find them on Facebook, local support groups. So I think that's a great place to kind of just help people with tips and tricks, like how to prevent chronic low back pain when you're an amputee.
Yeah.
You know, what are the best ways to clean your liner when you're an amputee? Things like that, that people are just craving the knowledge out there and are willing to come listen to you talk about it. And it's a great way to find patients, and it's a great way to get the word out there.
Yeah. And you were mentioning more about the hacks that you were finding. Where can we find those? What website's that on?
Hanger is a big prosthetics company, and right now they're running a campaign called Amputee Life Hacks. That's a good one. But there's not too many out there. You can check out my blog. I post one every Wednesday.
Good. Yeah, regular information. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, this world of prosthetics, you know, it can't be too huge in terms of a general population. But if you need a prosthetic, man, that all of a sudden becomes very, 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 very important.
Right.
And a hack for your life, a big deal.
Yeah. And with a rising rate of diabetes that we're having in the U.S. right now, like everybody, it used to be you might see one or two patients in your career as a physical therapist that's an amputee. But no, if you're an outpatient physical therapist, you will have an amputee patient, and it's probably a diabetic patient.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why a diabetic patient can't get up and be active part of society, too. I feel like they just, you know, once you have one amputation, you're destined for another, and it's all downhill. But I think that doesn't need to be the case for these patients. We think it can be an eye-opening experience for them to get back, and they don't know that because all they're surrounded with are other diabetic amputees who are not doing well. So, I hear so many times, oh, well, I can't do that. You used to work with those big, bad military guys. They could do all this stuff. And I said, yes, and my best single-limb stance was an 88-year-old retired general who was determined to be able to stand on his above-knee prosthesis for 15 seconds, and he did it, and he beat every single other young kid I had. So it's not a matter of age or abilities. It's a matter of motivation, and they just need to learn that.
Yeah, you mentioned that statistic. What is it? I mean, no, it's north of 50%. If you have one amputation from diabetes, that you're going to need another one. It's. I remember I learned
really
it in class.
It's high.
I raised my hand. I was like, you need to repeat that. That number can't be right. And it was, I mean, I want to say it's something like 70%.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. It makes me shudder.
And here in South Texas, we are the hot pocket of the diabetes world. Bring on those tortillas.
Man.
So it's been really exciting to get out there and teach them that just because you had a limb amputated doesn't mean you have to have the second one done, and it doesn't mean you have to sit in your chair for the rest of your life.
And the other part is we were really hammered on in neuro for my PT education, which is do that sensory testing. If you think there's any reason why the patient might be, you know, either is diabetic or might be, you know, pre-diabetic, do that sensory testing, because it's just that, you know, to use a cliche, it's that slippery slope where ounce of prevention would have been a pound of cure. It's sad when you could have prevented it. I mean, I know people in my life that, you know, it shouldn't have happened, but it did. You know, I'm sure you deal with that, you know, a lot. But hey, we deal.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to treat what we have now. But man, wouldn't it have been great to be there? And that's what population health, you know, as a PT, I would like to see, you know, get into. Preventing something is kind of invisible, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so that's why I think it's great to just pound them with information. You know, that's the best thing we can give our patients. It's not therapeutic exercise. It's not our techniques. It's our education that we can give them.
I've said
just dump it on them.
I've said it before on the show. I thought that was just kind of a, you know, throwaway. Yeah, patient, I mean, we'd list things you do with this this pathology, this patient population, the patient education always first. And it was just something we always wrote down, whatever. And then you get into clinic, you're like, oh my God, like that's the most valuable thing. Cause that's going to linger on way past this visit.
Yeah. And I had one of my best professors was when I was in athletic training school in undergrad. And he used to make us write the essay question, shout out to Gary Miller, but he used to make us write the essay question with the correct answer and then write it as if you're talking to a defensive lineman.
Yep.
So if you can't bring it down to those few levels, then your information is useless. You need to be able to teach these patients and get it to stick in their heads. Yep. We may be the only chance they have at not getting a second amputation, because it really is amazing too that people don't understand some of the things they think they're eating are healthy, and they have no clue that it really is unhealthy for them. They really don't. And so that was eye-opening to me. I thought, surely they know that Pepsi and that breakfast taco is not a good way to start your day with your blood sugars, but they don't.
Yep.
And so just teaching them that, it can really save a limb, literally.
Yeah. And if you can be one more voice doing it in patient language, you know, maybe that one more voice will be the thing that makes you get that light bulb to get it. You know, I had a conversation with a family member the other day about explaining. I literally took out measuring cups and I said, great, here's the serving size, and showed a cup. And I'm like, here's what you eat, which is fine, except that I showed a smaller measuring cup. This is about how much sugar is in that. Would you spoon feed yourself that much sugar? And their eyes kind of looked at me. It's like, that can't be right. I said, it's on the side of the box. It's like hiding in plain sight, which is almost to its detriment.
Know.
Right. They don't know.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, at first you're like, oh, my goodness, these people, how can they do this to themselves? Well, they really don't know.
Just don't know. Yeah.
And so that's when my heart goes out to them. Like, that's when, let's get up on the soapbox and start telling people.
Before I let you go, I know you mentioned your 88-year-old general. What's some moments in your career that have really, inspired you, that you kind of take with you?
Oh, my gosh. I get goosebumps just when you ask that question. But I've had an amazing career, and it's only been 10 years. And it's just because I was blessed to be with some awesome patients. I had one patient who will always be strong in my memory, that decided that she wanted to go back to roller derby, and she didn't think she could do that with one leg. So she brought in, she's like 90 pounds soaking wet. She brought in roller skates one day, a pair for me and a pair for her. She put them on and said, go, and chased me around the hospital.
Wow.
Chased me around the hospital. It was awesome. She was phenomenal.
That is kick-ass.
And then, I don't think I'm this mean as a physical therapist, but I was lucky enough to watch one of my patients at the Invictus Games fast rope out of a helicopter with his prosthesis on. And I didn't know he was going to do it, so it was a total surprise for me. I'm, a time zone away watching it on TV. And he walks out, and I texted him, like, that was great, good job. And his response was, I'm sorry I limped. My leg got twisted on the rope on the way down. And I thought, how horrible of a therapist am I if that's your first concern, is if you limped and I was watching?
Yeah, but it shows you set the bar high, and he knew, hey, she was gonna notice that. She wasn't gonna let me get
right
away with it. Yeah,
how
that's cool.
Funny. I mean, I've been real lucky. I watched a patient get an SB and stand up in front of, well, sit down. He should have had his legs on.
Who was that?
Josh Sweeney. He made the winning putt, the winning goal in the sled hockey tournament in the Olympics. Winter Olympics, this past Winter Olympics that we had against Russia. It was awesome to watch him. I felt like I had my own Johnson & Johnson commercial, where the mom's crying because her kid's getting So to watch them. I've had patients go back to flying C-130s. I've had patients go back to Paralympic teams in track and field, sled hockey. Like, just some of the things they do are phenomenal. And that's what I like to share on my website too, because they're thankful and appreciative enough to share those videos with me, and I just forward them on. So that way I can kind of have a link between the civilian world and the prosthetic in the military world, just so they can see how phenomenal these people are. I mean, they blow me. They made me a better physical therapist, without a doubt, because they pushed me to make them better.
Awesome.
I'm thinking, we're going to walk and we're going to be great. And they're like, no, we're going to run the Boston Marathon.
That's a great
and
example.
So, yeah. It is. And he did. He was a hip disarticulation. So he had absolutely no hip joint. As far as I know, no one else in the U.S. has run with a hip disarticulation. And he came up to me and asked, are we ready to start running? And I thought, wow, I never say never. So I said, let me work on it. Did a lot of research. I'm like, I don't know if we're going to do this. So his amazing prosthetist and I all got together, and we put him on this overhead harness system, and we made this leg. And he's like, what do I do? I said, well, how about you go? And if it works, I'll write it down. And then that's how we do this.
That's the best way to do it. Reverse engineer it.
Exactly. I was like, this has not been done before. I'm just guessing. And he was fabulous. He's now a long distance trail runner and he ran the Boston Marathon. I tried to keep up with him in the San Antonio half marathon and PR'd my half marathon trying to keep up with him.
Wow. That is cool.
So yeah, there's a reason that I wear sunglasses when I run with my patients because nobody needs to see those allergy eyes, you know, when I cross the finish line.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, want to throw a nod to Adrienne Haslett, who was a victim of the Boston bombing. She was also the keynote speaker at the Next conference in Boston. And when she announced, when they announced who she was at the Next conference, you know, Rob Barletta was up there, you know, interviewing her, announced that she had lost a limb. I was medium way back in the crowd and I was trying to figure out which leg it was. And the cool part was I couldn't figure out because the prosthetic was done so well, but it really was, I mean, I'm looking at it as a PT.
It's her. Yeah.
It's her weight. I'm like, she's not shifting her weight. You know, she's not. And that was great.
She's phenomenal. Yeah. I actually met her about a year after her amputation. Oh, she's doing really well. Yeah. I had a patient recently competed in a skeet shooting competition, world championship. And he's missing one leg above the knee and one below. And I was watching him and he's shooting and not like completely tight core. And of course, I'm patting myself on the back, but it's all him. And the people are talking next to me. And I'm like, you've got to be quiet. This is beautiful. Like, I want to see this. And he made it look so easy, just like her. They make it look so easy that you don't realize all the hard work that went into making it look that effortless because it's not. And it's just, to me, and I'm sure to you too, it's just, it's beautiful to watch. And so to watch him shoot skeet without wavering at all was amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. One more time, that website is evolveprostheticrehab.com. Evolve PRS on Twitter is where you can find out more information about Alicia and what she does. All right, so every episode we record is a pint. And before we're done with the pint, we do shots.
This is the parting shot.
So what's a parting shot of wisdom that you'd leave for the field of PT if they were going to go forward and work with a patient population like the one you work with every day?
I would say whatever you do in this field, just make sure it gets you excited every morning because the patients know that. And if you're excited and passionate about what you do, they will get better regardless of your skills. It's absolutely amazing to watch them do better. And it gets me excited every single time that I get to meet a new patient and talk to them about their future.
Yeah, sounds cool. Alicia White, appreciate you coming on the show and sharing everything that you've gotten into in your career with us and spreading it across the profession.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you've done in your short career. You know, a lot of times as physical therapists, we get busy on our own plinths in our own room in the back corner and we don't talk to one another. So this, you know, a little earbud on the way home listening to your shows has been a great way to connect with PTs across the world.
Yeah.
So
it's been
thank
fun.
You for everything you're doing.
You know, and PTs are always up for, you know, I mean, you're in clinic right now. People can't see it, but you're at work. You're sitting there and you're just doing it real quick between patients, I'm guessing. And, you know, just sharing
in about an hour.
just sharing that information will make us all even just a little bit better each time.
Yeah.
And that eventually
it's
will
all
add
about
up.
Sharing.
Yeah. I love it. All right, Alicia, have a good day. I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Jimmy.
Rocktape, more than just a tape company. Rocktape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Our home on the internet.
PTPINECAST.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.